This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Survivor 48 is here. And after every episode, dig deep into the show with On Fire, the official Survivor podcast. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.
Spending a few minutes now with Sean Westerlund. He is the head men's basketball coach at Bryn Athyn College, and his squad headed to the Division III NCAA tournament. First time in program history, champions of the United East Conference. They'll take on Hampton Sydney in the first round. And first of all, Sean, congratulations. And I know since you took over, you guys have kind of been building towards this moment. How satisfying is it to, I don't want to say reach the top of the mountain because there's still work to do, but to check this off the bucket list of things for the program?
It was a culmination of a lot of blood, sweat, and tears since our staff took over. We're a young program. We've only been around for 11 years. And before our staff took over, we never had a winning season. Had only made playoffs one time. And so for us to consistently go from 7 wins to 11 wins to 17 to now 20 wins on a 15-game win streak, winning the regular season title and the conference tournament title, there's a lot of gratitude for the journey. And I'm so proud of our group and how we stayed connected and rallied from a tough start to the year.
Yeah, what changed? You mentioned that winning streak and, you know, you lost some games early on and kind of finding your pace. Like, what changed from that rough start to your point of winning 15 straight and the conference championship?
Yeah, so we had to get the wrong guys off the bus, get the right guys on the bus, and then get those right guys in the right seats on the bus. And so we had to let go of some really talented people that just weren't necessarily the right fit for our program. But once we made those difficult decisions, we went 18-2, had won 15 games in a row. We also did a drastic shift to our weekly schedule. I truly believe that culture wins. And so what we did was, there's a 7-day calendar week. You have to take one day off. Our day off was almost always on Sundays. And then we would do a culture day. We do 2 culture days where we're in the classroom, just building our culture, talking to each other, doing different culture exercises about what being a winner is, what being a great teammate is, what we want Bryn Athyn basketball to be. And then we had 2 days on the court to practice and prepare for the games. And we had 2 games a week. And so that was the schedule that we did basically from mid-December on. And it's definitely paid big dividends for our group.
Was there a moment when you could feel that it clicked, like when you guys had turned the corner? And I don't know, you know, if you're thinking, oh, we're going to run the table from here on out. But when you felt like, all right, everybody gets it, we're all going in the same direction and this is going to be fun.
Yeah, so I thought the Salisbury win on December 10th was really, really good for us at home. That was a big time win. At the time, Salisbury was getting top 25 buzz, getting votes in the top 25 poll, I believe. And but it was a St. Mary's game heading into Christmas break that it's like, all right, man, like we have a chance here. We took some humble pie at the Roanoke tournament. And then from there, from January on, we didn't lose. And so we had different checkpoints. Like, I think our third game in January was against Penn State Harrisburg, and they're the defending conference champion. They were the favorite in the league. And we were able to get them. And then every like 2 to 3 games, we had a big time. Not to say that any opponent's not great, but we had some of the top teams in the conference. They were playing every 2 to 3 games. So it was great test each time. And I'll be honest, for me, once we got to the Caron game in mid-January, that gave us win number 8, which 8 in a row, which was a program record. I told our staff, and I didn't tell the guys, but I told our staff we were going to win out. And that's kind of what happened. So it's been fun.
First conference championship in program history, first NCAA tournament appearance. Like, do you feel like the kids are cognizant that they are like writing the history book in real time? And I don't, it's got to be a balance because you don't want to focus on that right now, but it is something incredibly special at the same time.
They're very much aware of our story. We believe that connection is the greatest gift we have been given. And part of having connection is knowing our story and paying homage to the people of the past that planted the seeds to the trees that we're sitting under today. We get to have that shade because they planted the seeds. And what we've done is been able to help water that garden and make it even more special and more beautiful. And so our guys are very much aware, and they wanted to be the team to help put Brent Athen on the map and to hang banners and to have our names etched in stone. And so there is a high level of awareness, and they're hungry for more and to continue to strive and push this program forward.
For people who aren't familiar, who maybe haven't watched your team this year, who are some of the kids that are the big reasons why you are where you are right now?
So it's interesting. We have a really balanced attack. I mean, we have six guys that are averaging over 9 points per game, and Keith Bullock Jr., Zeke Marshall, Jalen Jackson, Jalen Parker, Jakir Hampton, and Will Little. I would say our big three in the playoff run was Jakir Hampton, who was our tournament MVP, averaged 23 a game in the United East playoff tournament. Jalen Parker is a dude. I mean, playoff P came out to play, and he averaged 19 points, 13 rebounds, 5.5 assists in our playoff run. He's just a difference maker as a 6'8 mobile forward. And Will Little is our best player, 6'6 wing that can shoot the heck out of the ball. Great athlete, probably one of the most disruptive on-ball defenders that we have. And so, but, you know, we have a team of 12. And so those are our six guys that get a lot of the headlines. But Kamari Smith, Jalen Carey, Aaron Jones, Noah Riley, Amir Terry, and James Johnson all help us get better each and every day.
Mention you'll get Hampton Sydney in the first round at their place. A really good program, a lot of history. When you dig into them, when you look at the film for this year's edition of Hampton Sydney, what jumps out? What are kind of the first couple of bullet points that are going to be on the whiteboard when you're breaking them down to the team?
Adam Brazel, Shane Fernald, and defend the three and rebound the ball. I mean, I think their duo of Brazel and Fernald is special. You know, I think their role guys are incredibly skilled and great shooters with great range. I think the way that they crash the glass is definitely problematic, and they do it at an elite level. You know, we're going to have to play some of our best basketball. But, you know, we're excited for the challenge. We talked today in film about what a cool moment it'll be to go to Hampton Sydney and play in that historic gym, and where there's so much rich basketball history, and to go up against a story program in Hampton Sydney. You know, we talked about how they're the national runner up last year. But our guys are excited for the opportunity, and you know, Coach Kimbrough does such a remarkable job. It's funny, because when he first got the job early on, I was an assistant coach at Hook College. We went down to Farmville for their holiday tournament. And I remember talking to my boss at the time, Chad Dickman. We did not do well. We went 0-2 in the tournament. We both said we never want to go back to Farmville again. And here we are, my first NCAA tournament berth as a head coach, taking our program down. We get to enjoy Farmville again.
From an X and O standpoint, if you guys are to have success, what are some things you absolutely have to do? Not just today, but if you're able to put something together, what are the absolute core things you guys are going to have to do for 40 minutes in every game?
I'm going to tell you our three keys defensively and three keys offensively that have remained on our scout since that first game in January. Number one key defense is we got to get stops. For us, our offense is built off our defense. We've never had a run that just starts straight off of our offense. We need to defend and get stops. We need to gang rebound. When we rebound well, we typically win the game. It's pretty simple, but You have to be willing to do the simple, mundane things to win. And our third key defensively is transition defense. Hampton Sydney is an amazing transition offense. I think TCNJ and Pitt Bradford are both amazing transition offenses. So we got to be able to play transition defense. And then offensively, we got to execute our sets. We got to have ball security, because ball security is job security. And then shot selection. So shot selection is so imperative, because that plays into our transition defense. And so those are going to be the six keys, three on offense, three on defense, that we're going to emphasize throughout our tournament run.
The question I'm about to ask, I sometimes feel a little silly asking it, because no team wants to get off to a slow start in a game. But I think there are certain types of games where the first 4-8 minutes are more important than others, or more critical to success. And I think in the situation you guys are facing, first time in the tournament, facing a phenomenal team that knows how the sausage is made to win games in March, on the road at their place, do you feel like the first 4-8 minutes is key, that you guys come out steady, don't get, I don't want to say be wide-eyed, but don't fall victim to, oh, wow, this is incredible, and you look up and it's 21-4 and the game's almost already over. Do you feel like, is there more emphasis on the start in a situation like this, you think?
1,000%. We've been emphasizing, let's really try and get out to a good start in the first 7 minutes. And then at that 13-minute mark, let the game settle in. There's going to be jitters, obviously, playing at a sellout crowd, and a rowdy bunch, with a team that can make shots. So we have to really make sure it's going to be the defensive end. I think that's the thing that travels. Offense doesn't always travel, but defense travels. So we're going to have to get stops and string stops together early to allow us to settle in those first 7 minutes.